On Friday, Palestinian activists from the village of Beit Omar organized their weekly demonstration against the illegal Jewish settlement of Karmai Tazur. The demonstrators released 100 helium balloons with the names of Palestinian prisoners attached to each balloon. Tamara Weller recently spent 2 months in Beit Omar, which is in the Hebron district of the West Bank. Yesterday afternoon, she shared her experiences at a public presentation. Tamara is a Winnipeg artist and political activist, and she joins me now in the studio. Welcome, Tamara.
Hi.
Beit Omar is close to 6 Jewish settlements, and yesterday at your presentation, you shared a map that shows how close these settlements are. So I know today we're on radio, so we can't share a map, but could you talk about the proximity to the settlements and what type of barriers there are between the Palestinian village and the Jewish settlers?
Well, all of the 6 settlements that surround Beit Omar are part of Gush Etzion, which is a large settlement block. So within them, they have these smaller communities. Some of them are kibbutz, and some of them are bigger kind of agricultural communities. And they're very separate. There's no communication, unless it's through violence, between Palestinians and these settlers in particular. There are other settlers that have some in other parts of the West Bank that have some connection to Palestinians, but in these particular settlements, they're very ideological, and so there's very little connection between the Palestinian village and the settlements. The settlements are divided by like barbed wire gates, and almost always have Israeli soldiers protecting them, but many of them also have their own security systems, and the security in the settlements carry machine guns, and even some of the settlers themselves carry machine guns.
Yeah. If there weren't these barriers and soldiers and guns, would you be able to walk from a village to a settlement?
Yeah, they're very close in proximity. Karmai Tazur is to the south of Beit Omar, and it's the closest settlement to Beit Omar. And much of the land in all 6 of the settlements is actually stolen land from the village of Beit Omar.
Using the term Israeli apartheid to describe the occupation is controversial in Canada, and our show last week we had an interview where we talked about the movement at the University of Manitoba to ban a student group that uses the name Israeli apartheid. I wanted to talk about your experience, and based on what you experienced when you were in the West Bank, do you see that there is a system of apartheid, of segregation by race or ethnicity?
I do think that it is a system of apartheid, and the main reason for that is due to the occupation. So I would say that I think that in Israel proper, so if people just go and visit Israel proper, which is, you know, the other side of the 1967 borders, they might not see a full-scale apartheid system, a traditional full-scale apartheid system. But when you cross over into the West Bank, I would say that it is certainly an apartheid system because there's a complete separation. There's Jewish-only buses, which is a new thing that just happened. They just launched a new bus company that's only for Jewish people, so Palestinians aren't allowed to drive on it. There's Jewish-only roads. And there's watchtowers and military guards only in front of Palestinian villages and refugee camps and cities. So yeah, I would say that in the West Bank, it certainly feels like an apartheid system to me.
One thing that you said yesterday that I found really surprising was that the Palestinian villagers actually import a lot of their food from the Jewish settlements and people that are traditionally farmers and would have had land to grow their own food. Can you talk about the economic situation faced by the Palestinians because of the settlements and because of the restrictions imposed on them?
Yeah, well, I think one of the biggest problems is that the Palestinians don't control any of their own borders. So the export and import of food becomes restricted based on based on the Israeli laws and policies. I mean, I honestly don't know the details of those policies, but from being on the ground and seeing the situation, it's very difficult for Palestinian farmers to compete with the lower prices of farms that are like more highly developed and have more money and more resources. Also, there's the other issue of how a lot of the most fertile land is now part of Area C, which the West Bank is divided into three areas: Area A, Area B, and Area C. And Area C is under full Israeli military control, and much of it has already been seized by the Israeli army or the settlers. And if it hasn't been, the Palestinian farmers are at great risk of losing their land. So they've lost the most fertile land too, which is problematic.
You're an artist, and now you're back in Winnipeg. Do you plan to create any new art based on what you experienced in Palestine?
Yeah, I have like a big piece in mind. It's kind of about a very close friend of mine who worked illegally in Jerusalem, and his experience of having to jump over the wall to get into Jerusalem just so that he was able to have a job, was able to bring back money to his family. So it's kind of a piece inspired by that, and it will be a large-scale piece. And I'm not going to build it, though, right away, because I'm doing my master's at UCLA. So it will be – I'll start it in LA when I get there.
Great. Well, we'll have to look out for that. So thank you very much, Tamara, for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you.
I've been speaking with Winnipeg artist and activist Tamara Weller, and she was in Palestine with the Palestine Solidarity Project, and there is more information on that project at palestinesolidarityproject.org. And you're listening to Mud and Water on CKUW 95.9 FM.